going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'll tell you what, for a draft that supposedly light on stars was not light on drama. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Started with a bang. Well, not Cam Ward. That was expected. But the Jacksonville Jaguars just jumped in with 2 feet. They trade up from five to two, with the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland gets a haul. They get the Jacksonville's fifth overall pick, second rounder today, which is the second pick today. They get, so now they have two of the first four picks today, Cleveland does. They got a fourth round pick this year, and they got next year's first. These 2026 first round picks seem to be very, very popular and valuable. We can talk about that now for a whole calendar year. But the other big surprise maybe is a little strong. But the other big move that happened in the first round was the New York Giants, Manny's New York Giants, desperate for a quarterback, trade back into the first round to take Jackson Dart.
Right.
Shedeur Sanders gets closed out of the first round. He's still waiting. And Pearl, it's Ole Miss Jackson Dart who is now going to be the future for the New York Giants.
Such a weird week leading up to the draft. If you follow all the insiders, it was, well, Shedeur might go number three to the Giants. Combined with, well, the Giants are definitely trading into the first round to get Jackson Dart. But people thought in that scenario, Shedeur might be gone at 21 to the Steelers, and then Jackson Dart goes 25. But they clearly had their mindset on Jackson Dart. I don't know why they didn't. They probably could have waited. It was a fear that the Saints were going to jump them, who also reportedly liked Dart. They probably could have waited to 34. But no, they didn't have to give up that much. So they're not killing themselves with this move. The only real cost to me is that means they're committed to Jackson Dart and they're not going to get in on the next two quarterback classes. So I got to be honest, I'm not totally sure where this all goes.
Yeah, I hate to be that person who's just the negative Nelly here after the draft, because I know you draft a quarterback in the first round. Wherever it is in the first round, you want to get really excited about it. But I'm sorry, Manny, I don't know if this is a great fit. And it's not because I don't think that Brian Daboll can't help Jackson Dart. I just don't know if guys who have come from that kind of system, which is not what Lane Kiffin was running at USC. This is more of an Art Briles kind of system. And we just haven't seen a lot of evidence that guys who are doing no pre-snap stuff, that are not doing any cadence stuff, that are really having, it's a steep learning curve. Now, listen, smart on the Giants, and Russell Wilson is there. So you got Russell Wilson, who's probably going to start the first eight games.
Don't forget Jameis Winston.
Well, Jameis is a backup, but you know, Russ is going to start, but they did this with, they brought Kurt Warner, future Hall of Famer, in for Eli Manning. And I believe Kurt started the first 10 games and then Eli took over and, you know, got his feet wet a little bit and then took over from there. And I think the Giants are going to try to do the exact same thing here. And obviously it worked out with Eli. I don't see the same thing happening with Jackson Dart. I think this is a reach. It'd be the second reach for the Giants. They reached for Daniel Jones. Different regime. They reached for Daniel Jones. It blew up in their faces, and I don't love it here.
It's not as big a reach because Daniel Jones was number six. This is less of a reach. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, had a good point. Jackson Dart is the second one to the podium behind Abdul Carter, technically in order. So you have the Abdul Carter cover because you probably have a superstar pass rusher. So this is not going to totally blow up in the Giants' face. If they had taken him at number three, then we're talking, I'd be like, oh my God, the Giants are going to be picking top 10 for the next 5 years. Here's the thing. Would you squint and say you took him at 25, you can take a quarterback in the next 2 years? You don't have to commit to him full time. Kind of like the Steelers immediately moved on from Kenny Pickett. The Cardinals,
and that's looked at as a failure.
Yeah, yeah, but you can. It's not a franchise killing failure like signing Deshaun Watson for $220 million. It's not like the Jets taking Zach Wilson. This is a little different. I think they said 25. Okay, we'll take him here. Hopefully, it works out. If not, we're not terrified of taking another quarterback down the road. That is, if I'm a Giants fan, that's what I have to hear.
Well, I'd say the good thing for the Giants is that they did not give up the future first round pick, yep. Which is weird because the Falcons, who traded up with the Rams, literally the next pick gave up a first round pick to the Rams.
So right, but they didn't have the 33 pick to give
right.
up.
They didn't have that.
So they only moved up
there.
Eight spot. There was an eight spot drop. Not that big a deal.
Well, let's listen to Brian Daboll. Okay, so here's Brian Daboll, the head coach of the New York Giants, says Jackson Dart has the qualities you want in a quarterback.
I think he's got a lot of qualities you look for in a good quarterback. He's tough, makes good decisions with the football, pushes the ball down the field, has athletic ability, played in a really tough conference, you know, started there at USC as a young guy, but, you know, did a really good job throughout this process of our meetings, board work, workouts, and the tape that we like. So look forward to working with him. I'm glad he's here, and I'll get started as soon as we can.
When someone takes like a big deep breath, like in the middle of a sentence, whether they mean it or not, it kind of sounds like they're like, you know, we're going to work with him. Anyway, it doesn't exude like excitement, but it was late.
I'm very thrilled.
Yeah. As a fan, you are a... really looking forward to Jackson Dart. Okay, here's more from Daboll. Says Dart has winning qualities.
He's a leader. He was smart. And he has the attributes that we were looking for. So excited to have him. Look forward to getting him in the room. And, you know, he's got a lot to learn. It'll be a process here with him. But, you know, he's a guy we look forward to working with.
Okay, so the winning qualities. Where? High school? He was very good in high school.
Very great player of the year. But
yeah, he was.
Wait, you're saying he didn't win in Mississippi? I mean, he's better than Eli was in Mississippi.
They didn't make the college football playoff when they had
this,
it.
Yeah, but this is Mississippi.
This was the best Ole Miss team they had. They sunk millions and millions of dollars into this team.
But they're Mississippi. They're not Alabama. I think it's probably the winningest stretch they've ever had.
I just know that going into that Florida game, they had a shot to make the college football playoff, and he did not play well. Anyway,
yeah,
you're not going to hold
saying,
one game against him.
He's definitely a winning quarterback. I mean, more winning than Shador.
Fair, but, you know, Ole Miss did have more of a head start than Colorado.
Right. But it's not, I'm just saying, it's not Georgia or Alabama. I do think you can't kill Jackson Dart. They've never been good.
There's levels to this thing, even in the SEC. Yeah. I will agree
and,
with you.
And they did beat Georgia. So I think that was the game. You have to look at the right tape. Ignore the Florida tape, play the Georgia tape.
Yep. I'll be honest, that Georgia tape, he missed part of the game where they scored a touchdown with another quarterback.
Austin Simmons looked great.
Well.
But did he have a big... one big play in the second half.
I mean, they scored 22 points. It wasn't
Carson Beck didn't play well in that game.
Yeah, that was a defensive game. It was a rain game.
Yeah.
Where are these big Jackson Dart performances against big teams?
That's what I think the Giants here, I think there's two things that happen. One, I think Shador Sanders and the Sanders family messed up the pre-draft process. I'm going to go on record as that. I think they misplayed this thing. I think they came out kind of calling their shot early. They didn't read the room, so to speak, or they didn't read the landscape, and they didn't, I think, understand something pretty fundamental here, that people were maybe looking for reasons not to draft Shador as opposed to looking for reasons to draft him. Now, that's not Shador's fault, but that's just the reality, like, you know, is what it is type thing. And they came out guns a-blazing saying, we're going to Eli Manning this thing, and it turns out they didn't really have a leg to stand on. Now, this could all work out great for Shador. He could go in the second round, Pearl, still to the Steelers, mm-hmm. still to the Saints. He could find himself in a really good, in a better spot. He'd go to the Rams. Hell, who knows? Maybe the Rams don't want to wait around until 2026. Maybe he's back up to Stafford, and this whole thing takes a wild swing in a positive direction. But I do think that if you're just, the result might still end up being good, but the process that the Sanders did here was not good. Because I think that Shador is actually a better prospect than Jackson Dart.
I think you're focusing on one aspect way too much in this Sanders thing. The fact that Dave's going to pull an Eli, it's everything about Deion. I think it's not just this. I think to think that Deion is not going to be a constant presence for your team when Shador is there would be naive. And you have to be the right team to take that on. The Rams would be fine because they have Sean McVay, is a very powerful coach. The Steelers would have been fine with Mike Tomlin. But for many of these teams who are a little more embattled, you cannot have Deion hanging around. It's just impossible.
See, the other reason why I think that the Sanderses messed this up is because when it was just about the Colorado tape and Colorado playing and Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, going to Colorado and scouting Shador so closely, all the rumors were he's going to be linked to the Giants.
Right.
It was only later in the process, we talked to Diana Rossini yesterday, who said this is a couple weeks now in the making. It's only later in the process that maybe they fell out of love with him. Doesn't it at least seem that way from the outside?
Yeah.
Like, when it was just about the football, they liked him. When it was maybe about something else, they didn't. And that's why I feel like either Shador maybe didn't come off great, or I don't know. Or maybe the Giants were so focused on Dart, the Ole Miss connections with Eli Manning, the coaching connections, yeah, they weren't looking clearly at this.
Well, I mean, Deion, you know, he did say, I'm going to pull an Eli, and he was very pro-New York. Everyone said, oh, he wants to get him to New York. And Deion kept letting Joe Shane into the building. They clearly were tight. So there was a good relationship there. He was trying, everyone kind of thought he was working him to the Giants. Or what was the other? There was one other team that Deion seemed to be focused in on. But at the end of the day, you know, listen, Brian Daboll, he would have been fired in week 8 and bringing Deion. And I think they know that too. And I think there's just a lot. The Giants are sort of a shaky franchise right now. There's no way. Over the last 10 years, they have, is it the worst record or the second worst record? So I think bringing in Shador and ignoring Abdul Carter was impossible. They could not have. If they had taken Shador Sanders at number 3, that would have been such a big risk, especially because he wouldn't have started week 1. Russell Wilson probably would have, who was at the draft party for the Giants last night. They're trying to make that a thing. There's no way they could have done Shador. That was never going to happen.
No, but they could have traded back into the first round. That pick could have been Shador right there. I'm not saying 3. 3, you take Abdul Carter. That's fine.
Okay.
But, you know, they were choosing between Shador and Jackson Dart, and they chose Jackson Dart. And I think it's partly the Sanders' fault for that, because I think they misplayed this process.
Well, what about this idea out there that we've heard from some guests over the last couple months that Shador is just not that great a prospect? Are we ignoring that?
And Jackson Dart is?
Well, Jackson Dart's bigger. I think that for all the science in the NFL, they generally look at two guys and say, well, that guy's an inch taller, I'm going to take him. Mm-hmm. I know you say Bryce Young, and that's very true. But I think
Brian Daboll, didn't he coach Tua at Alabama?
Possibly, but I'm just saying Jackson Dart is definitely bigger. I think that they looked at that and said, this guy's a little more solid.
A little more athletic. I'll give you that, you know, and running
around.
I don't
know about more athletic, but he's definitely significantly bigger than Shador. Like, he's got a base. In fact, maybe too big.
888-710-4ISN. Yes, 888-710-4476. I heard that another Giants legendary quarterback did say that he was chubby.
I don't know if that was on air, but generally.
It was.
They talked
about it on air. So oh, okay, I feel they comfortable. Did.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, Jackson Dart, even his face is like, whoa, you might want to mix in some salads in that training room.
Jeez.
No, I'm just kidding, but it's easy.
The guy's like 23 years old, man. It's probably still baby fat.
No, you got to pick apart every quarterback. That's what we do. One thing I hate about the NFL draft is everyone's so positive. It's like, this guy's a great fit. This guy's a great fit. When 65% of the picks last night are going to stink and nobody knows it. So we can have a little fun.
You know, besides the big trade that Jacksonville made with Cleveland to get Travis Hunter and the Giants coming back into the first round and then the Rams trading so that Atlanta could get James Pierce. It was kind of chalky though. You know, it was kind of a pretty conservative draft, I thought. Now we'll talk about Ashton Jeanty, the Raiders. We'll talk about Omarion Hampton going to the Chargers. There were a couple outliers, but.
Oh, I mean, it's the Philadelphia Eagles draft. Everyone's like, oh, the Eagles draft, nothing but O-line and D-line. We're going to do the same thing. Kind of boring, but you're right. Definitely chalky, except for the trade, but 5-2. Yep. But the players were almost exactly what everyone thought.
Who did the Cowboys draft, Perloff?
Tyler Booker.
The inside lineman. The interior offensive lineman like you thought they were going to get?
Oh, that was so obvious. The way when Tet McMillan went number 8 to the Panthers, it's like, just give the guard to the Cowboys. Let's move on.
Actually, we'll have some Jerry sound for you a little bit later. What he had to say about, you said copycat league, everyone's copying the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, Cowboys are getting real serious about that. We'll tell you what we mean in just a little bit. But John is in Western New York, wants to talk about Shedeur Sanders. What you thought Shedeur got hurt himself how in this pre-draft process, John? Good morning.
Well, first off, he didn't participate in the combine. Secondly, when they timed him on his release, which a lot of people ignore, he's got a very slow release, which means that cornerbacks basically get a better jump on the receiver that he's targeting in on. So we saw that in Pittsburgh with Mark Malone. That turned out to be his Achilles heel. And Mark was a lot bigger than Shedeur Sanders was.
Mm-hmm. Mark Malone from the 70s? Is that who you're talking about? Like the old quarterback?
I just want to clarify one thing. I'm 70 years old.
Oh, okay.
I saw Willie Stargell play left field at Forbes Field when I was a kid.
Okay? Amazing.
Yeah.
So, but I just want to say that I'm glad the Steelers didn't take the bait. I'm not saying that Sanders will not make it. He'll find someone that wants him and find possibly a comfort zone and be happy. I don't think the Steelers wanted to bring along his father with him, and again with Pittsburgh because they don't have a number 2 pick. They had to nail it on the number 1 pick. So it might have not been glamorous, but they got one. I believe they got one of the top 3 defensive linemen. So I told you guys last week when they gave up 299 yards to the Ravens, there definitely had to be a beefing of the defensive line. And I won't be surprised if they take another defensive lineman. And maybe later in the 4th round, there are 3 quarterbacks that I think they have their eye on. And I think that's their strategy. Yep.
John, thank you. You know, how many late round picks are you going to put in your quarterback room, though? You know, it's Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, and now you're going to take another flyer late round. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers in a second. But Derek Harmon, and we know for our fan base in Oregon and all those Ducks fans out there, they know him. You need to stop the run. Can I offer you 6'5", 315 pounds?
Yeah. I like that term, John used. Beefing the line. I like the verb to beef. Mm-hmm. It can mean many things. Anyway, that being said, it's a little boring. I also wonder if it was a little bit of a message to TJ Watt. Like, I think they're going to load up on D-line saying, like, it is interesting, TJ Watt's age and that contract demand. That's floating around in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a funny team because they've gotten kind of old. I said from the get-go, I think Shedeur was an awful fit for them. Just terrible. Arthur Smith, Shedeur's got to be Kirk Cousins. He's got to go to a high-octane offensive coordinator who's going to, because he's very accurate, he's going to play point guard. Pittsburgh needs a Ben Roethlisberger, a guy who's going to go back there and be tough in the pocket and throw it 40 yards downfield. That's not what Shedeur is supposed to be. So I think people were squinting to see this. By the way, is there any way Shedeur lasts in the 3rd round for them?
Probably not, but I don't know if they want to trade into the 2nd round. I'm not sure. We'll see what happens with the Steelers today. But meanwhile, a big question about what the Steelers are going to do at quarterback and about Aaron Rodgers. We got some new reporting yesterday about the latest. So we will get to that next. We will get to the Cowboys as well, what Jerry Jones had to say about taking yet another interior offensive lineman. Stop me if you've heard that one. And we've got so much more for you from the draft. 888-710-4ISN. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
I like the verb to beef.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. So welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Mags, I was on with Zach Gelb a little bit yesterday afternoon. A lot of fun.
I know. That looked great.
I described one major issue that you and I have, something that we just cannot see eye to eye on. It's been floating around for, I'd say, 5 months. Can you guess what it is?
Oh, gosh. There's so many things.
But this is the one that I think we argue about the most.
The whether or not Caddyshack 2 was funny?
No, because I'm sorry, you already lost that one. The big sports issue.
Oh, gosh, there's so many, though.
Tom Brady's impact on the Raiders is the one we will never see eye to eye.
No, we won't.
You think this is last night.
Disappointed he wasn't in the war room.
Following social media. Gonna be honest. Maggie Gray on X. Tom Brady's first draft pick is a QB's best friend, explosive running back who can catch the ball, too. Okay, Tom Brady's first pick.
Tom Brady's first pick.
Tom Brady's first pick. Oh, and he wasn't in the war room. And also, I could have sworn that both you and EJ said, well, Brady, I mean, the Raiders are doing things differently. They're not going to take the skill position player. They're going to build the trenches because Tom Brady's smart. So why is that Tom Brady's pick? And this is the single most Pete Carroll pick in the history of the world. The guy overdrafts running back every year without building his offensive line. It's what doomed him in Seattle. It's clearly what's going to doom him in the Raiders. So their offensive line is going to stink, and Ashton Jeanty might not get holes. I get it. I do agree with your point. Like, Ashton Jeanty should help Geno Smith, the quarterback of the Raiders, but I really worry that the offensive line is going to be bad, and that's going to cause some problems with the Raiders.
So it's kind of up in the air. There's a lot of people who think that the Raiders' offensive line is not that bad. So I'm not going to pretend to be Miss Offensive Line. We're all going to find out together.
Did you watch them last year?
No, I did, but they also had horrible quarterbacks back there, and there was no reason for anyone to respect their receivers either. or the run game. They had 500 yards on the ground. But it was just a mess totally on offense, which is why everyone got fired.
The run game is about the line as much as running back. And I know they didn't have any running backs last year, but the line was, from everything I'm hearing, quite disappointing to the team.
They put some resources into it. We'll see if they can take a step forward. But I'm worried for Genty here. I am. I can't say that I'm excited to watch him at the next level.
Oh, he's the best.
And, you know, the Barry Sanders yeah. comparison yesterday, Lewis Riddick was all about how he's like Emmitt Smith, but faster. And, you know, I want
that's a nice
sky's the limit here, like for Ashton Genty. But I do worry about this pick because Ashton Genty, to me, would have been a better spot for the Bears, I think. And I think that would have been maybe a little more of his full, like, we're going to get the full Genty where maybe he's even part of a playoff run in year one and all of that. The Raiders still have so much to do to build this team.
Right.
I don't want Genty languishing on this team and just running into a wall at every place that every place he plays. And it reminds me a little of the Giants in 2018 when they took Saquon Barkley. They had an end-of-the-line Eli Manning, which is kind of comparable, I think, to Geno Smith, where he is right now. It's like a good, not great quarterback. They did not have a great team around him, and they thought that Saquon was going to be the rising tide that lifts all the boats here, and he couldn't do it. I mean, one rookie of the year, but they never won anything, and I'm a little worried that Genty is being asked to do the same thing.
I understand what you're saying. I do think he's... gosh, probably the number two pick in fantasy football draft. He is going to get so much burn there. You know, Pete Carroll does not want to throw the ball. So it is going to be the Ashton Genty show, and it's going to be super cool in that black uniform. You will give me that.
Oh, well, as a everybody fan, looks cool
I think the Raiders got interesting. I kind of agree with you. There is a Saquon field. That's a good analogy because the rest of the team's not ready for him. But you cannot, one thing, you can't put Geno Smith in 3rd and 10. That is not Geno time. He will throw, he'll give that one up. He'll cough that bad boy up. He's got to be in great passing situations. So I understand their thinking. Let's give Tom the rest of the draft. I just don't feel like there's any real impact. There's nothing Tom Brady about signing 34-year-old Geno Smith, who was Pete Carroll's quarterback, and then drafting a running back, which is a Pete Carroll modus operandi move. This is Pete Carroll's team. It's not Tom Brady's team.
I know. Well, I did miscalculate maybe one thing about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is definitely a wanted-to-be-coached-up guy, right? This is why he worked with Belichick until it didn't, right? It worked for all those years because Brady would listen to coaches, not be afraid to be coached up hard. I think he really respects coaches and what they have to say. So
can't you just give it up that Tom Brady's a broadcaster who owns 5% of the team and is not running the show?
No, I think that he's letting Carroll kind of do his thing. But can I tell you, I don't know if this became a big enough story last night because it happened on social media. Not everybody has Twitter, and I get that because Twitter is a hellscape that I would not recommend to anybody. But Pete Carroll was on Twitter yesterday, starting an hour before the draft, dropping clues about who they were going to take, like a riddle. And I got to tell you, I don't know what Pete was smoking here because I could not figure out any of this.
82-year-old man discovers ayahuasca and social media.
I know he's at the Dead Show recently, but that's just awesome. Pete Carroll, here are the draft clues. Draft clues on the way. They're all gifts. The first is a scene from The Office where guys are pretending to have a shootout and then lowering their guns slowly.
Oh, epic scene. What an epic scene.
The next one. I'm sorry. That was just a gift. The first one is a scene from the new movie Sinners, where Michael B. Jordan and another actor who I'm sorry I don't know are looking very nervously and scared out at the horizon. Okay. The second one is
big fan of Michael B. Jordan.
His Snoop Dogg. Just a gif of Snoop Dogg taking his shades up and looking happy and high. The third one is Outkast, So Fresh and So Clean, a couple lyrics.
Okay. Gotta say the lyrics, Maggie.
I'm not rapping them, but it's about Teddy Pendergrass, cooler than Freddie Jackson, sipping a milkshake in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Guys, that was like my high school. Oh my gosh, you have no idea. Anyway, draft clue number four is a scene from Ted Lasso.
Big fan.
And then five is John Cena holding up the belt.
Wait, sorry, you did say the Fresh Prince one, right?
The Fresh Prince was just, he said, clues are incoming, and it was Fresh Prince with the magnifying glass.
That was the one they thought sealed it, that it was Calvin Banks, because the Fresh Prince, the Banks family,
Wow.
And everybody, right, no, it was Warren Sharp had it. Everybody was like, oh, they're taking Kelvin Banks, who was mocked to them a lot. So that's what everybody thought, it was done. And people were shocked. But I think they were taking Kelvin Banks. And then the Jags traded out. And then the Browns somehow did not take Ashton Jeanty. So I don't know. I think that maybe something was going on there. Because, again, connect to any of this to Ashton Jeanty.
These are obviously just random gifs. There's nothing to this.
But this is making me a little nervous about Pete Carroll. Like, what? Why?
I think this was part of the greater social media team probably said, hey, let's have some fun. Here's like five random things. Just post it. Yep. And he's like, sure.
I don't believe you. I think there's something here.
Oh, no. No chance there's any correlation to any of these things.
Then the last one is, we're all fired up, Raiders. And it's a Marshawn Lynch quote saying, eat my quesadillas. You're already going to compare him to Marshawn Lynch.
Raiders!
Anyway. That was a little something silly that happened. John's in Vancouver. We'll get to Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers and what the Steelers may have said to Aaron Rodgers before the draft in just a moment. But, John, you had a bone to pick with the broadcast last night. What was it?
Well, it was just like, thanks, Maggie. Yeah, it was just the fact that, I don't know, the outdoor venue, like, I couldn't hear Rich Eisen in the panel dissecting the picks. And it was, you know, like, you could barely hear the, I don't remember the lady reporter who was interviewing the picks right after. You could kind of get it, but yeah, just a thumbs down to the outdoor venue. I just hope they go back indoors, whether, you know, Radio City Music Hall in New York or any of that. If they visit other cities, just go indoors. That was my beef, though. Thanks,
John. Weren't you blown away by the image of that crowd? Was one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen. I couldn't believe how many people were there. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, that part, Andrew, that part was great. And I mean, with the sunset, that was spectacular. But I mean, when you kind of want to hear the panel go over the picks, that was so frustrating. Like, you know, that's the thing I like to hear immediately, you know, after the draft picks made, to hear what the panel has to say. And
sure.
Yeah, it was just that part was just, I tried, you know, it wasn't my TV, definitely, you know.
Yeah. No, I get it, John. Yeah. We'll pass it over to the audio engineers at the NFL Network. I get it, though. You want the broadcast to be seamless. Can we put this out as a poll question? Because you said that the images of the 200,000 people who showed up for the draft was spectacular.
Yeah.
When you look at a picture of a crowd like that,
yeah,
does that make you excited or give you anxiety?
Yeah, I was wondering how you get to the bathroom. That was the thought all night long.
Major anxiety looking in that crowd.
But are you willing to... I'm curious. I was actually thinking about this last night. Will you admit you were wrong about Green Bay as a venue? Or I say it's definitely in the mix as the best thing ever. When they took Matthew Golden, it was like, what is this? Yeah. Is
that
awesome.
That was electric.
Yeah. I mean, actually, every venue has been great, but I thought that this was a home run. I understand. I didn't know about the audio issues. I could hear the NFL Network for some reason. But I thought this was like, wow, they hit a grand slam last night.
Well, all the Packers, I think, leaned in big time
On
the home field advantage here. None more, I should say, than Clay Matthews, who opened up the draft this way.
I just got off the phone with the president, Donald Trump. He asked me to pass a message along to all 32 NFL franchises. So let me tell you what it reads here, all right? It says, my fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
McAfee has infiltrated all these guys. I feel like that would have been a McAfee move.
I'm sorry. Maybe this is controversial. I give that an A++++. That was awesome.
My fellow Americans, the Bears still suck.
You know, to set up a joke like that, oh my God, and to do it with Roger Goodell riding a bike 5 minutes before, making Goodell look kind of dumb, everything about it, to do that on a Tuesday on a show, you do it in front of all these fans, it was incredible. It was one of the best draft moments. It's definitely top 10 for me. Did anyone have a problem with it?
Fellow Americans, the Bears still suck!
I feel like you do this at like a Packers fan fest.
Yeah.
and he did it at the draft.
Number one, but he made the whole draft fun to me. Rivalries are great. You don't get too many of them anymore. They've been watered down by free agency. I loved it. Did anybody have? But I know some people out there maybe had a problem with it.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I wasn't sure where he was going. That was the first thing. He's like, I just got off with the president. I was like, this could really be going anywhere. And then to turn it into a troll of the Bears, it was just, I wish Clay could have given us the heads up on this when we talked to him yesterday that he had something up his sleeve for the beginning of the draft. That would have been cool. If he's like, guys, stay tuned. I got something planned. You know?
Well, did the commissioner know this was going to happen?
No, he apologized. He was apologizing as he was doing
it. Well, yeah, but the commissioner was laughing. Like, did they give any heads up that he was going to open a letter? Like, what was he supposed to say when he got up there?
I don't know.
Maybe they clearly gave him the mic. And, you know, they talked about before the show that now it's going to be a thing where every year Roger Goodell comes in and there's some sort of hoopla. With, you know, I think we had Lil Wayne up there, Eminem, riding a bike. Yep. Like, they're trying to make this a thing. Can we just talk real quick about your text last night about Roger Goodell, Bogues?
Oh, the sneakers.
Yeah, like, Goodell's trying to be cool.
Yeah. Well, somebody's trying to make Roger be cool. I'm guessing that wasn't his choice, that someone was like, you should wear these, Kamish.
I mean, they were pretty plain. They're plain white sneakers.
Yeah, but that's like a young man's move to wear white sneakers with a suit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's kind of stylish.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'm guilty of trying too hard sometimes to look younger and cool, but like there was no need for the all-white sneakers and the navy blue suit on the 67-year-old Roger Goodell last night.
Wow. Oh, it was fine.
Nah, I didn't mind it.
I am literally wearing white shoes with navy all over.
And how old are you?
I am about 27, 28.
Okay.
I kind of get it. I'm with Bogues. Like, Roger seemed like he was trying too hard last night. But by the way, he also feels very relaxed. Like, he knows he's got a couple more years. Going to go off the sunset with $1 billion.
I mean, how many millions do you need to have in the bank to finally feel comfortable?
And he's going to die on that stage. Someone's going to squeeze him too hard, too long.
So one of those guys is too big.
Yeah.
Who's that guy you were talking about yesterday who stops the tush push?
Yeah, yeah. The tush push Terminator?
Yeah. Thank God for Roger. He didn't go in the first round.
He's a third rounder. I don't know if they flew him to the Packers. And by the way, how'd you even get him there? Yeah. Airlift?
Some poor deputy commissioner. Oh, that's terrible.
Dang, girl.
Seriously. You guys all made jokes about it yesterday.
But we can still fly commercial.
Can
you're doing Dumbo drop
is
on this guy.
Is that how you fly around with those big old feet of yours?
No, I just get a big running start, and then they just take me like Mary Poppins style. Just float
like
through
a
the
glider.
Air.
But you don't have to buy two tickets.
Also, I can't wear white shoes. It's blind people. It's too big. Bogus has headlines. We'll get back to Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of the tush push, Jerry Jones was talking about it yesterday. We got lots to do. Bogues, fill us in on the latest.
As expected, Travis Hunter was the second pick last night in Green Bay. Not as expected, the Jaguars made that selection after trading next year's first plus second and fourth round picks this year to the Browns. The swap surprised basically everybody, including Hunter, kinda. Here's him with Kay Adams on Up and Adams.
I was super surprised, even though I went on Zillow last night and searched up some houses in Jacksonville.
Okay, wait, what?
Yeah, I did that last night.
What? Why?
I had a feeling.
Travis, are you joking with me right now?
No, if I had my iPad, I'll show you. I actually went on Zillow last night.
What gave you that feeling?
I don't know. I don't know. I just had a feeling that Jacksonville was going to try to, you know, come get me.
He didn't find a house, by the way, but he did, I guess, find some property lakeside that he's interested in Jacksonville.
I'm seeing something nice that looks like $1.13 million. They're having an open house on Sunday. Looks kind of centrally located. I don't know too much about Jacksonville real estate.
Some generational liars in this draft. Abdul Carter said that when he was 12 years old, he had a dream that he was selected by the Giants in the draft. Hogwash. You guys are lying. Everybody's lying here.
That's very specific. By the way, Travis Hunter probably has $25 million in the bank already. I think he can afford the 1.1. That guy's been getting paid to play football since eighth grade.
It's like a starter home for him.
Yeah.
This is most people's
starter
dream
home. Four bedrooms, three baths.
It's like a, you know, dip your toe into the real estate world.
Yeah, he's going to do just fine there.
I hate being poor.
Just be better at football, but man. Hey, duh.
Can we just admit that everyone here on the Travis Hunter personality train, that guy is so fun. Did you see him dancing in the pink suit?
No,
God, he's so much fun. I don't know if fun makes it worth drafting him that high, but it sure seems pretty cool to me.
It does to me, man. I don't care what the price tag was. I can't believe the Browns didn't take him. I can't believe somebody passed on him.
I know. I think we're underplaying this because they got so much in return, but it is kind of crazy that the Browns let Travis Hunter go.
Okay, I get that, and they could forever be the team that passed on Travis Hunter, but I really believe that if they had taken him yesterday, I don't think their win total goes up at all because they need a quarterback. The Jags don't. The Jags have Trevor Lawrence. He's under contract. He's coming off an injury. But they're set. They can afford to do stuff like this. The Browns need a quarterback like yesterday. And now they at least, I don't know what they're going to do today. They got two picks in the first four picks of the second round. But I think this is about next year. and trying to get a quarterback next year.
I think Joe Flacco averages 350 yards a game next year. Honestly, I cannot wait to see him fling it around. I want to see him throwing to Hunter. You know, Flacco, Stefanski, you never know.
The wait, problem is
he'll throw about three balls a game to the other team as well.
I was thinking, can Hunter do a pick six off of Flacco? How does that work?
I just think this is hilarious. One thing about Perloff is always waiting for LeBron James to fall off the cliff.
Right.
Like, age-wise. Yeah. It's like, LeBron, there's no way he can keep this up. Joe Flacco played till he's 50. Joe Flacco, you have no concerns about age at all. LeBron James, you're waiting for him to walk in a wheelchair, in a walker or something like that.
Quarterback, you don't age it. Joe Flacco never could run fast or do anything anyway. He's the same guy.
He was the other team's better quarterback the last time we saw him play in that playoff game.
Yeah, well, but then he was at Indy last year. But no, I think certain athletes, like Steph Curry, is never going to age because he was never athletic anyway. Now, LeBron is different. He needs a little more jump, and somehow he can still jump. Joe Flacco at 40 is the same as Joe Flacco at 28. What is the difference? I mean, you don't lose that arm. He couldn't move ever. And by the way, did anyone think Joe Flacco is going to win Comeback Player of the Year 2 years ago? No.
Well, that's because DeMar Hamlin got hosed.
Mackie definitely didn't think he was going to win it.
Regardless, he still won Comeback Player of the Year. You told me that was crazy at 38 for Joe Flacco.
And then the other thing is,
Cam Newton, all these quarterbacks are younger than we thought. Cam Newton's still 36. RG3 is 35. So
what? These dudes aren't 45?
No. Nope. Cam Newton's 36. RG3 is the one that gets me. He's been out of the... How old is he? He is 36, too. He's 36. He's 4 years younger than LeBron. He's been out of the league for 6 years.
I know. He's a broadcaster now and been a broadcaster for a minute. All right.
I don't know how we got a LeBron there, but
because you worry about him aging. You know, Joe Flacco's got a lifetime contract right now.
I would say Joe Flacco should put $1 million into his body, but that's probably his yearly salary. I mean, Joe Flacco wasn't signing $20 million contracts.
Look at Joe Flacco's career earnings. He can afford that starter home in Jacksonville if he wants to retire right after this year.
Starter home in Cleveland now. Bogues, we left you no time. We did nothing for you there. No.
I got
favors.
A seat at least. I'm proper Yay. Height
okay,
in the
so
moment.
At least you are.
Baby
comfortable.
Steps.
He did get the white shoes takeout, which was very important to me. And the clear glasses. We might want to bring that up
later.
Jackson Dart wore clear glasses.
And I don't think they worked for our exact argument.
Oh, the dismay on
the energy in the room just changed.
Saying there were a lot of hot takes last night. This is the hottest. You're saying Jackson Dart's glasses didn't work?
I didn't like them. I didn't like them for the exact reason why my wife said that I shouldn't wear them.
Which is again?
My Irish complexion. You need the contrast of everything's too pale, too light. I didn't think it worked for Jackson last night.
Maggie, you're a woman. You should have better fashion taste than us. Do you agree?
I thought it worked. He looked like a Logan Paul or something. Okay.
Maybe that's not my style.
Wow.
But I saw that. I was like, that's why I don't have them.
I mean, I thought the Atlanta trade was controversial. I thought the Jags-Browns was a big deal.
Yeah.
Saying Jackson Dart's glasses didn't work.
Here you go.
No, I was in on the glasses. I thought he looked pretty cool.
That's my quarterback.
Bogus with all the...
And he's going to get those glasses knocked off his face by the Philadelphia Eagles. Damn. But he looks cool.
Good to see you, Maggie.
Next year, we have to have Bogues review every fashion choice of the draft.
I'd love
he's
to.
Clear, and we should do that for NBA. Clearly, you have a lot of opinions here.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Well, stick around. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You guys, by the way, you're thinking yourself of these fashion experts. You're actually missing out on the biggest fashion statement of the evening last night. You were not even close.
I mean, Travis Hunter's double-breasted pink suit was up there.
Yeah, that was cool, but that wasn't it.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about someone who took a real swing.
I'll shut up then.
Real fashion. We can get to that next. Also, Aaron Rodgers, an ultimatum. Has that been made? And we get to Jerry Jones. A lot to do. 888-710-4ISN.
Joe Flacco.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game.
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot.
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field.
What a catch.
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. The Hyundai Getaway Sales event is going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong, but don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So much draft to break down. We want to hear from you. Did you like your team's pick?
Or hate it? 888-710-4ISN. We'll get to you later.
Yeah, and I loved yours, too. I think
we'll get to me later.
Yeah.
Let's get to London, though, who's in Chicago. We've been talking about the Shedeur Sanders, fell out of the first round. We'll see where he goes today. Listen, this could end up being the best thing that happened to him. He could go to a much better team. But I think the Sanders family botched the pre-draft process on a couple different levels. London, what do you think?
How you doing? First of all, I love the show, and I appreciate having the ability to speak. I disagree wholeheartedly. First of all, I'm already mad because of the Bears' disrespect last night, but hopefully we figure it out. But
The draft was in Green Bay. What did you expect?
Yeah, we got stabbed in the heart last night. but basically, I'll put it like this. You know, he fell out the first round, and they already had a lot of media coverage that this may happen. They were kind of priming everybody. I'll be honest, I think it's cowardice from these anonymous executives that do not want to put their name behind the indictments on this young man. That's number one. Number two, and you know, you can have the opinions on the football stuff. I won't get into that.
Yeah.
But my main thing is this. If, you know, he did, they messed up on a lot of things. And, you know, we try to be nice about it. I saw a lot of young men, if you're saying he's brash, he's arrogant, they all had jewelry on. They all had different videos, the social media aspect. I'm saying, what did he specifically do to offend these people? Now, the second part of this is this, and you know, I don't want to take it, you know, extremely left field, because I've been on Twitter all night with X, and I've seen a lot of comments from a lot of prominent people in, you know, sports, hip hop, you know, the media, everything. Everybody has their opinion on it. But I'll tell you this, I'm seeing one constant, you know, thing. If Arch Manning has equal or stats that are subpar to this boy next year, and this don't happen, that's a problem. And, you know, I'm not trying to make it like that, but I'm just saying it's the same thing. Football family, you know.
Yep. Famous, you know, involved, you know, the very net,
exactly.
Involved.
So, exactly. So, you know, that's the thing. Now, I want to say this one last thing, and I appreciate it. I think it's sad that, because I saw Shannon Sharp on his draft.
Careful with Shannon.
Yeah. Well, last night, you know, they had the draft thing with him and Osho Shinko.
Okay.
And he said a statement, and he said, man, they got him. They got him. They got a hit piece of that, man. They got him. And I was like, what does that really mean? And, you know, we go on X and we analyze. And the whole thing is to say, oh, these anonymous sources that came with this media blitz, it worked. So my thing, like I said.
Hold on, though, London. I just want to respond to a couple of it, because I think you are making good points. The Arch Manning one is big, because I know we said this yesterday. We talked to Clay Matthews. That usually when your parents are professional athletes, that's generally looked at as a positive. Yet for Shedeur, it was looked at as a negative. Generally, when your dad is a coach, that's looked at as a positive. It was looked at as a negative with Deion and Shedeur. And I totally agree with you. But where I think they messed up the pre-draft process is I think they called their shot wanting to say, and they said, we're going to pull an Eli Manning, not realizing that that was going to turn some people off. If you say, I'm going to steer Shedeur to a city that I want him to go to, well, I think that turned people off too. It is anonymous executives, but
so that should affect Arch. If Archie did it for his son, then they should still be mad, and it should affect the boy next year. Now I want to say this in conclusion, because I know I got to go.
Yeah.
Watching Deion Sanders' eldest son, Bucky's, his YouTube channel, and it kind of showed back at the house, at the park.
Yeah.
And nobody was more mad. You could see it visibly in Deion Sanders. He would not stop looking at that.
Because, London, and you're making great points. I think that Deion also realized that they messed this up. Now, I don't know if Deion would ever admit that. And thank you for the call, London. Thank you for checking in, and don't be a stranger. But I think Deion realizes, because here's the thing about a media blitz that London's saying that was negative on Shador. Who has more access to the media than Deion Sanders to refute any of the negative stuff?
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem is Deion's on camera all the time. I think it's his visibility. But none of that's happening to Arch. Arch is 6'4", 225 right now, and he's young and still growing. If Shador was 6'4", 225, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. I'm just telling you that's how it
is.
If
Shador played like Arch Manning, looked like had the measurables of Arch Manning.
Yeah, Arch Manning's a no-brainer. He's
gigantic.
He would
have been two.
Yes, of course. Shador's just a little too small, so he couldn't have any baggage. None. He had no room for error.
Interesting. 888-710-4ISN. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Arch Manning.